Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh House.
I wanted to ask you guys, everyone's talking about the draft, but the Dolphins are still trying to fill in the margins here. And one name came across, Aaron Wilson, a Houston reporter. He mentioned that the Dolphins were meeting with Carl Lawson. So I wanted to spend a couple minutes here. The Dolphins already added Shaq Barrett. But Kat, I wanted to start with you. The Dolphins clearly need to add something else in this defensive end group. That's why I thought it was interesting if they could kind of double dip with a defensive tackle, turned edge, something like that. But Carl Lawson kind of seems like an interesting name for the Dolphins, considering this is someone who fell out of the rotation in New York. He could have a little bit of an opportunity, especially early in the season in Miami.
Right. And what I think is going to happen at the edge spot, a lot of people have the Dolphins drafting an edge player, one of the top four guys at pick 21. Mm-hmm. Certainly a possibility, but you've got to wonder given Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. I know they're coming back from injury. I think Chubb is going to start the year on PUP. Phillips, optimistic he's back for the start of the year. We'll see. They signed Shaq Barrett. If they also bring in Lawson as well, is that a sign that they're completely just going away from edge there at 21? Possibly. And, Lawson's somebody who's, was with the Jets, but really showed the potential when he was with the Bengals and was a third round pick from them out of Auburn several years back. It seemed like right when he was on the verge of stardom, he would get hurt again. That's been his entire career. So can he finally put it all together for the Dolphins? If they get him cheap enough, I think it might be worth the risk.
I'm a sicko like that, right? I think kind of it's just a Dolphin fan maybe in me, but you hear these names, Carl Lawson. I don't know. That was probably one of the years when I actually could really dive in before children and get into the draft. I remember Carl Lawson's name coming out, right? You mentioned it, what he did with Cincinnati showed promise. He started 17 games in 2022 with the Jets, 7 sacks. So there still might be something left there. 28 years old, a rotational piece that they could sign for probably relatively cheap. I do think it's interesting though what you said, Kat. If they bring in, or maybe it was you, Jake, if they bring in Carl Lawson, does that mean then that they're set at the position, or then, do they go elsewhere in round one? That's the Chris Greer question that we all have in our mind, and what will be decided in what, 2 weeks? We're 2 weeks away from the draft.
There were some rumbles that the Dolphins were going to reinitiate conversations with an offensive guard following the draft. We never really heard too much outside of that. I wonder if Carl Lawson's the same scenario where the Dolphins have maybe starting to look like maybe three players in place that come June 1st, they might have contracts available. I'm curious if maybe Carl Lawson, the unnamed guard, and maybe OBJ are three guys the Dolphins have kind of maybe stuck close to at the party just in case they want to dance in the future, but they're leaving their options open for right now. I like the idea of I knew that was going to happen. I like the idea of Carl Lawson, but Kat, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, every time he had some momentum going, it just seemed like he'd suffer some sort of brutal injury. The Jets signed him to a 3-year, $45 million deal following the 2020 season. He instantly suffered an Achilles tear during his first training camp. I think he set a career high with 8.5 sacks as a rookie with the Bengals. A real interesting player, and I do think that the opportunity is there where the Dolphins need some help early in the season, especially Lawson, you wonder, hey, if you can give us 4 or 5 great weeks at the start, and then, you know, you can use that to kind of parlay it into a contract. And then at the same time, we have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb coming back. So then you don't have bad film coming out from being on the field too long. These are the type of signings that I'm going to get really excited about in the next couple of weeks, just because we have these proven products. And then it has that one sick thing that the Dolphin fans love, and it's hope. And someone like Carl Lawson, you can hope and see some sort of path where he could have a pretty good year in Miami.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's he's got a lot of tread on his tires, a lot of injuries now. But, you know, those are the types of guys you're going to find out there at this point, or else they would have already been signed. And a date to circle on your calendar, too, is the Tuesday after the draft, April 30th, because that's the day that you can then sign unrestricted free agents, and it's not going to count against your comp formula. So, you know, you look at Robert Hunt and Christian Wilkins. The Dolphins, I don't see signing anyone between now and April 30th that is an unrestricted free agent. If you were cut, then you can sign and it won't count, as a lot of our listeners know here. That's fascinating, because, you know, if you're the Dolphins, you want to make sure you keep those 2 third-round picks locked in. Absolutely. And you don't do something that's going to squander one of them. And I expect that to happen. But April 30th, yeah, I mean, the players that are out there, they can sign, and it won't count against that. Dalton Risner is still out there, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little surprised he is not a great fit for this system, because he's not a great athlete, but he's a solid player. He's a startable guard in this league. So if Mike McDaniel can make an exception and start him there at guard and sign him, maybe that's the guy that they're looking at. I mean, Robert Hunt wasn't the greatest fit in this scheme either, but we saw what he did. So there's room here on the interior line for not the best athletes. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Wasn't there just a report that the Dolphins were talking to a veteran offensive line or defensive line? I think it was offensive or defensive line. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what comes of these next weeks, but there's definitely players out there. I'm glad you did say that day, April 30th, though, because they're definitely going to make sure they get them compensatory picks.
How does this Dolphins defense, just to wrap up here, what needs to happen to this unit for it to be disruptive going into next year? I just kind of ran through some numbers quick. I mean, they had 15 interceptions last year. Ramsey was number one with 3, but then you have Brandon Jones gone. He had 2 interceptions. Jerome Baker gone, 2 interceptions. And then talking sacks, you have Wilkins gone, who had 9. AVG had 6. How does this unit really kind of find itself again? They led the league last year. I think they were getting a sack about 8% of the time. Obviously, things blew up at the end of the year. They were allowing 145 yards per game on the ground. But, Kat, what's the one thing this defense needs to do, especially early in the year, to find some sort of production when you know you aren't going to have Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips? Is it that interior pressure, you think?
I hope the defensive line is good enough to tie up blocks for mm-hmm. the stand-up linebackers behind him. That's why you're paying Jordan Brooks and David Long all this money. I mean, and then at edge, you hope to just be good enough, and you hope Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb get back sooner rather than later. But what I'm hoping for at pick 21 is that a defensive back of value falls down to that spot. Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold are expected to be taken before the Dolphins pick at 21. If one of them falls, I see that as a best player available situation. You can draft one of them and then get more creative with Jalen Ramsey. Now you have a secondary that's 6 deep going up and playing the Buffalo Bills that just lost Stephon Diggs. That's the advantage the Dolphins can have if they were to make a pick like that. Cooper DeJean is another one where I see him as more of a safety or a big nickel. But if you draft a player like that, I think that's kind of a best player available, immediate impact type of guy. So I'm always a big fan of stockpiling the secondary. So we'll see if that actually happens.
Is that a good idea? I mean, would you kind of be playing into the Bills' hand, a team that doesn't have Gabe Davis, doesn't have Stephon Diggs? You look at New England, I don't think they're going to be passing the football much. And then the Jets are the wild card if Aaron Rodgers is back. Is it wise for Miami to kind of load up in the secondary, or would you kind of assume that the entire AFC East is kind of going to lean towards running the football a little bit more?
I would rather the Dolphins head into the matchup with the Bills saying our secondary is an A and your receiving core is a C. Mm-hmm. And for the Dolphins to get where they need to go, they need to win the division. To win the division, they need to beat Josh Allen. Right. And that to go in with that just very specific advantage of our defensive backs against their wide receivers. If the Dolphins are two letter grades better, that's, to me, the quickest route to success.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I keep going back and forth between what the Dolphins should do. I like the thought of an offensive tackle long-term, you know, what they could do with Teron Armstead gone, slide inside a guard. But also, you talked about it. We've talked about it several times. These corners are not getting any younger. So despite what you're saying going up against the Buffalo Bills, long-term, you're going to need someone. So I really wish we had Cam Smith, seen something out of him last season, got better vibes than what we've heard throughout, you know, Hard Knocks and things like that, whatever it might be. But if Cam Smith can play, that changes everything. But if he can't, you're eventually long-term going to need a corner, and just bringing in a guy, like you said, a Cooper that can Dijon that can play, you know, safety, can move around a little bit, do a little bit of everything. It's intriguing. Quinyon Mitchell is another guy that I think since the first time we talked about him on this podcast, he has slid into my, you know, top 2 to 3 players in this class. So I'm glad I'm not the decision maker, but I do think, like we've talked about, like a lot of people are saying, this board's going to fall right down to Chris Greer, and hopefully they make the right choice when we have all those studs, you know, sitting there staring him in the face, because part of us has to wonder, you know, will he? Because we're talking about these guys in the second round that need to come in and make, you know, immediate impacts. We didn't see it from Cam Smith last year. We didn't see Channing Tindall, you know, Eric Ezukoma. We're still waiting to see him, and he was, what, a third-round pick, I think. So they haven't been hitting on these picks lately. They need to do it this year if we want to remain where we are, right? We don't want this window to close. We want to remain where we're at and have that long-term success that we as Dolphin fans have been wondering and hoping for 20 plus years.